This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's the Now News Panel on AMI. I'm Dave Brown with Megan Gilmore and Michelle McQuigg, and let's discuss our last topic. Different jurisdictions are imagining how they'll use public parks during COVID-19. There are a number of issues at play. In Ontario, people are questioning why many outdoor public spaces are considered off limits during the stay-at-home order. Meanwhile, in Edmonton, as we discussed with community reporter J.R. Bjornsson earlier this week, several parks are going to be allowing alcohol consumption during the summer, whereas in Toronto, such a pilot project has been rejected. Parkgoers in the Big Smoke can also expect social distancing circles to be painted at Trinity Bellwoods Park. Megan, you wanted us to hash some of this out. Why?
I think it's going to be a bigger issue as we move through the spring into the summer. We've already seen discussions about larger things like festivals and summer camp, what's happening for them in the summer. And we need to start paying attention to parks. This is our second pandemic summer, and I think people are starting to wonder, is this going to look any different from last year? What is our relationship to our outdoor public spaces going to be?
So I mentioned that there has been some consternation in Ontario in regards to the way that some public spaces, outdoor public spaces, have been considered off limits during the course of this most recent stay-at-home order. Even places like golf courses are starting to violate public health orders. There's other public recreation places, for example, playgrounds that were going to be shut initially that then have been reopened after 24 hours of intense pressure. But Michelle, what do you make about some of this disagreement about outdoor spaces? And let's first sort of focus this into the Ontario stay-at-home order moment, because I think we can ground it there and then kind of blossom the conversation.
Yeah, I'd like to register my admiration for Megan's optimism that we could have festivals and such this summer. That seems like a far cry. But it makes sense to do some planning for that, because measures did relax a bit last summer and there was more interaction. And I think there's a lot of hope that will happen now, especially with vaccinations in the mix that they weren't. But you're right. The public space and the outdoor activity thing has been the source of so much debate. A lot of it hinging on science, with scientists saying, hey, we never said you should close everything down. In fact, we'd like to encourage people to be outdoors more often. So in this case, we had a political response that was a bit at odds with science. And I suspect some of that advice will drive a reopening of public space. And in that context, it makes sense to me to discuss exactly how it's supposed to be used. But perhaps that understanding should be a little better integrated just in general than it typically has been. What is the substantial difference between a playground and a park, for instance, is the kind of question a lot of people are asking and don't have many answers to. Why are golf and tennis, that are inherently easy to physically distance while you play, banned, and other activities or even shopping in big box retailers are not? They're important questions, and they're clearly thornier than a lot of people might have first assumed.
I wish my hands weren't so full as I was asking that question, because I definitely would have thrown some air quotes on the stay-at-home order in Ontario, because there's been lots of consternation about, you know, as to whether or not it truly reflects messaging that is a stay-at-home order. But I will say, I think that maybe some people have lost the grasp of that a little bit, that in theory, the idea of the stay-at-home order is that we are supposed to stay at home. There's almost supposed to be no activities to do, that it's not just social gatherings in indoor spaces or outdoor spaces, it's to sort of limit contact, generally speaking, whether it's dog parks, playgrounds, soccer fields, tennis courts, golf courses, etc. I don't necessarily 100% agree with it, but I think as a matter of as a theoretical, I think I can see where maybe that's coming from, and some of the consternation, although super reasonable to discuss in practice, does sort of fly in the face of the overall conception of limiting contact. Megan, what do you make of some of the disagreement around outdoor spaces?
I think it speaks to an ongoing confusion about what is being expected of people, what is not being expected of people, that we've just experienced for the last 13 months. You know, I think it's difficult for people to take government orders seriously right now in a lot of cases. When you, like you were saying, they called a stay-at-home order, but what does that mean? And in Ontario, for those of you who haven't had the privilege of going through this, the number of like different messaging methods that have been used over the pandemic is amazing. Like, we have had numbers, we have had colors, we have had emergency breaks, like all the images have been thrown out there. So I think it does speak to some general confusion, some exhaustion people are having. And also, you know, like, we were told getting outside and doing exercise was good for us. Now we're being told that we shouldn't. Like, it's just people are confused and they're tired.
Yeah, I think confused and tired is definitely a fair way to label that, Michelle.
Totally. I agree with that. But also, I think there's a failure to sort of consider how these policies intersect with other ones that they put in place. So schools have been shut down, which puts a lot of additional pressure on parents to keep their kids entertained and happy and healthy. And I do think that there was a bit of a failure to account for the fact that we are now in the season where some outdoor channels for blowing off steam with the kids is viable and safe. So I think that there might have been a bit of an oversight there in terms of considering the effect that closing schools would have on other aspects of life for certain, for a lot of families.
I want to get to the alcohol consumption in parks in just a moment, though, but let's revisit the social distancing circles in parks painted on the grass at Trinity Bellwoods. Megan, you want quick takes on this, and I already heard a sigh of exasperation. I think that came from Michelle, but Megan, I want to give you first word.
I also was sighing with exasperation.
Okay, maybe it was you who sighed with exasperation. I heard a sigh of exasperation.
I just... Yeah, like, I look at them, which I don't look at... I mean, I've seen pictures. I haven't been to Trinity Bellwoods Park in a very long time. It just makes me think, like, wow. Like, I feel like the rest of the country is probably laughing and rolling their eyes at Toronto right now over this. Or like, wow, how would I feel if I was a city staff and I showed up to work one day and I was told, hey, you're on like the paint the circle crew. Like, it just makes me sad for those workers.
As a former public works employee of Parks in Montreal, that's a good day.
Is it? Okay, maybe I would just find a way to have fun with it then. It's just, yeah. And then again, adds to more confusion of people being like, but wait, I thought I was supposed to stay at home. Oh, no, now you're telling me that I can go to the park as long as I'm in this circle. Like, what is going on?
Yeah. Michelle, quick take on the social circles at parks.
Yeah. Thoughts and prayers to parks workers, for one. But no, truly, I find the whole thing mystifying for the reasons Megan mentioned, but also the fact that last summer it didn't work. Do you remember the huge, huge crowds that we'd see weekend after weekend, like thousands and thousands of people? So they were completely ineffective. And I don't see why they're revisiting this.
Yeah, I think it seems a little bit preposterous as well. Let's jump into the drinking in public parks side of the equation. As mentioned, Edmonton is going to be playing with a pilot project. Such a pilot project was rejected in Toronto, although informally last summer, it was very commonplace to see people having a couple cocktails in the park. Michelle, what's your general reaction to the idea of people being able to drink publicly in the park?
I honestly don't have a problem with it. The pilot program, as envisioned by the councillor who put it forward in Toronto, had limits on the strength of alcohol, so you can't just like take a 40 into the park and go crazy. It's clearly meant to be communal, and that doesn't mean it could be abused, but it has time limits on hours. It has limits on, like I said, the types of alcohol that can be consumed there. It's a very common practice in Europe. I don't particularly have an issue with it. I know some people do, and they think it is not the right time to introduce such a measure. They feel it could be encouraging people to flout physical distancing conventions. The other school of thought that's pandemic-oriented says that, in fact, you should be encouraging more spaces that are outdoors and that are safer. I think I probably fall more on the latter camp, although for me, this issue goes well beyond the pandemic, and just it seems like a not unreasonable accommodation to make.
I think it's worth taking a look at the pilot project, but it does require some enforcement. It does require a little bit of extra pressure to make sure you're not dealing with public drunkenness in the park. And also things like broken glass. You know, there's a lot of jurisdictions that have open liquor laws, like Las Vegas, for example, where they've had to crack down hard on glass in the last couple of years because of the danger that it poses. So there are a couple issues here and there, but I think it's worth at least exploring the pilot. So to outright reject the pilot seems a little weird to me. I will say, though, I can't say that I'm totally surprised, because you know, once it's going to be legal and to drink on patios again, the general powers that be in this province and provinces across the country are going to want people spending their money at bars and restaurants that have been hit real hard for the better part 13 months. Megan, what's your reaction to the pilot project being rejected in Toronto but being embraced in Edmonton?
I think it's one of these situations where people are going to want to wait and see how other jurisdictions have responded and to see what safety considerations need to be put in. Again, as I've said many times in this program, I think we just need to have a better conversation about why we drink and just all the different choices that are made around alcohol. And then if this is going to continue, how does that impact actually how parks look? So are we going to increase like lighting in certain areas for safety considerations, things like that? I think you need to really take a good look at how are you going to implement all of this.
Public washrooms, picnic tables, all kinds of extra infrastructure that you might have to think about in a park if you're going to allow more food and drink, for sure. Guys, we've only got about 2.5 minutes left here, but I think it's worth at least taking a moment to think about how we incorporate green space into public planning. And I do wonder if there needs to be stronger policies around development and new development that says you mandate some green space to be built in the areas that you develop. What do you think about some more mandating of green space and recreation spaces to new development, Michelle?
I'm all for it as long as you're made accessible.
Oh, there you go. That's the beautiful caveat. I love that one right there. Megan, what about you?
Hats off to Michelle. Quick, perfect response. I think if one thing this debate shows us is our public green space is important. It is a crucial part of a city's infrastructure and it needs to be treated as such. And it also brings up other questions about housing. And if you don't have a backyard that you can go to and enjoy with your family, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
So, so many things. I think it just underscores the importance of it, and we need to treat it as such.
Yeah, I live in a relatively newish development, a lot of townhouses and a couple of newer condo buildings that have been built in the last 10, 15 years. And you can tell they put a lot of thought into building one gigantic green space right in the middle of it with a little playground for the kids and a lot of green space for the adults. And it's pretty cool, and it's nice to see the neighborhood dogs running wild in there that I can't pet during COVID, but that's another story for another day, another gripe for another time. Hey guys, we are out of time.
For less than 5-year-old building I live in has a little parquet that ensures silence at night. So there's another benefit, quite apart from having trees and nice things around, but it's really lovely and quiet at night, and that makes a real difference as well.
Yeah, I like that. I like that too. Hey guys, we're fresh out of time. Michelle, have a nice weekend at work. We'll talk to you on Monday morning.
Sounds good. Have a good weekend.
And Megan, you enjoy your weekend as well. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
That is Michelle McQuaig, the weekend news editor with the Canadian Press, and Megan Gilmore is a freelance journalist and AMI accessibility reporter. Remember, there's always ways for you to get in touch with the show when we touch on hot button topics. Your voice is important and we want to hear it. So as we spent the last hour talking about COVID-19, once again, I kind of ask you how those elements of long-term care, public spaces, vaccinations are impacting your life. Paid sick days, where do you stand on that issue? Send us an email, feedback@ami.ca, feedback@ami.ca, @AMI Audio on Twitter, @AMI Audio on Twitter, or give us a phone call, 1-866-509-4545. That's 1-866-509-4545. Those points of contact, one more time, feedback@ami.ca, @AMI Audio, and 1-866-509-4545. Please leave us that message and give us permission to play it on the air. This is Now with Dave Brown on AMI. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.